Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, October 9th, 2018, episode 14.08, the NFL Week 6 show. The Chiefs and Rams are still undefeated. The Packers and Cowboys lose again, and both Steve and I, as they sit at 2-3, are thinking about throwing in the towel. Or maybe just I am. I don't want to speak to Steve. We'll hear about that in a minute. Drew Brees becomes the all-time passing yards leader, and Peyton Manning gets the best video tribute ever. And Jerry Jones, my friends, just does not get it. Says the Cowboys haven't had a true number one receiver for several years.
What?
That's right. You know what, Jera? Just get a GM already. The Broncos did me in last week, and I apologize for that, but I look to get back to my winning ways with a good, solid pick this week. So you know what? Let's chomp it in.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, people, wherever you are in this great, big, crazy world of ours, thank you for listening and thank you for joining in. I'm Steven Miranda because we did on our NFL Rants and Raves Facebook page, I don't know, you're not on Facebook, right? Steve, I'm going to have to get you on Facebook just for this very reason. I put out a poll out on our NFL Rants and Raves Facebook page, and it's which team will remain undefeated longer, the Rams or the Chiefs? And the Rams ran away with it 77%, only 23% for the Chiefs. But look at here. The Chiefs blew out Jacksonville this past week, and the Rams struggled with Seattle. I mean, Seattle took them to the wire. Because everybody thinks that the Chiefs are going to lose this week as they play Sunday Night Football against the New England Patriots, and the Rams have the Broncos. So the Chiefs obviously have the Patriots this week, Sunday Night Football. Then they host the Cincinnati Bengals. Then they get the Broncos. And then the Cleveland Browns, followed by Arizona. And then the Rams in Mexico City. What I want is I want 11-0 and 11-0 flying to Mexico for El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana that week. That would be awesome. Yeah, that, because it might be a Super Bowl preview. All right, so I will ask you this. Will both teams be undefeated until November 19th when they face off against each other in Mexico? All right, that's certainly interesting. And while we're on the Saints and talking about the New Orleans Saints, congratulations to Drew Brees. The man came out on Monday Night Football, took it to the Washington Redskins, and surpassed Peyton Manning as the NFL's all-time passing yards leader. Let's give it up with, I don't even have clapping for him. What in the world happened to my sound card? So let's let's give him a little song. I cannot believe my sound card has died on me. But anyways, in Steve's reference to Tomatoes the Top, if you have not seen it, Peyton Manning came out and congratulated Drew Brees for surpassing him in that record in only the way Peyton Manning could. He's chopping tomatoes, and someone off camera yells at him and says, Drew Brees just broke your record. And he's like, which one? And they say, you know, the all-time passing yards leader. And he's like, but then someone off campus says, but you know, he's also on pace to break your touchdown record. And he's like, oh, all right. So then he goes on to congratulate him in only the way Peyton Manning could. He's very funny. You should check it out if you have not seen it. But Drew Brees, look, I saw him in the Rose Bowl, playing the Rose Bowl when he was with Purdue. They played Washington. He lost that game to Washington in the Rose Bowl that year in 2001. But I was there to watch him live. And I wasn't in New Orleans, unfortunately. But I did get to see it live. And to see him go 17 years in the NFL and break these records, it's pretty amazing for a guy who is listed at 6 feet. But I've stood next to Drew. in training camp, and I'm taller than him, and I'm 6'1", and I'm taller than him by a lot more than just an inch. So I know he's not 6 feet. I think he's more pushing like 5'10 and a half, maybe 5'11". It's just incredible what he's done, and my hat tip there to Drew Brees. That's a pretty amazing record. Yeah, and Favre tweeted a very nice tweet to Drew Brees. It was very nice. But here's the thing about Drew Brees. Besides the height and all that, this dude's just classy. He's a class guy. He's been class throughout his career. And I just feel fortunate that I got to see his last collegiate game. And hopefully, kind of like a la Favre, who I got to see him in his final years, especially as a Minnesota Viking, I cheered him on greatly as a Viking. I probably cheered him on more as a Viking than I did a Packer. But that's, yeah, let's not get into that right now. But the only thing I want to say about Drew Brees, it's a little mini rant. I've got a rant for later on in the show, but this is just a mini rant on the Miami Dolphins. Not only did they pass up on Drew Brees when the San Diego Chargers had decided they were done with Drew Brees. Brees started his career with the Chargers. They were done. He injured his shoulder. And the Miami Dolphins decided to go with Dante Culpepper instead of Brees. Well, Culpepper, played for the Dolphins for like 2 years and then his career was over. How'd that work out for Miami? Not very well. I just found out today that the Miami Dolphins scouting head at the time was trying to get the Miami Dolphins to draft Drew Brees coming out of college, coming out of Purdue, and they passed him on the draft too and went with some defensive back who was with the Dolphins for like 3 years. The Miami Dolphins just did not get it. They passed on him once, and they passed on him again. And how different would the league have been, how different would the Dolphins have been had they, at any one of those opportunities, taken Drew Brees? Nick Saban, you know, his time in Miami, whatever. But anyways, Drew Brees, hat tip once again. I have no idea how an organization whiffs, not once, but twice on the same guy. That's just bad. Some sad news to report earlier today, this morning. Owner of the Los Angeles Chargers, Alex Spanos, passed away. He was 95 years old. Our thoughts go out to Dean Spanos, who is currently the head of the Charger organization and the entire Spanos family. Spanos bought the Chargers back in 1984. He turned over the day-to-day operations control of the team to his eldest son, Dean Spanos, who's still running the team now, in 1994. And he's watched the Chargers from afar since then. Just a lot of sadness out of the Chargers camp because within a span of 2 months, Dean lost his mother, Faye, and now 2 months exactly to the day today, loses his dad, Alex Spanos. So thoughts and prayers out to the entire Spanos family and the whole Charger organization. All right, now I'm not going to turn this into a big rant, Steve, but Jerry Jones came out and said, well, here's what he did first of all. Okay, first of all, immediately after the Sunday loss to Houston in overtime again, 19-16, says that, you know, the team and head coach Jason Garrett should have shown a little more aggressiveness there on 4th-and-1 from inside Houston territory. Instead of punting the ball, they should have gone for it. Then, of course, Jason Garrett made some comments about that, saying, well, it was a long 1 yard. It wasn't just 1 yard. It was a long 1 yard. I'm sorry. I'm with Jerry. It's overtime. Your defense was gassed. They weren't going to stop anybody. And, you played a win. There was only 4 minutes left in overtime to begin with. What do you want to do, play for another tie? Give me a heart attack and play to a tie? Because that's what would have happened had that game been in the tie. There's not a lot of time left. Go for it. You've got Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. You can't gain a yard, or I'm sorry, a long 1.5 yard. You don't belong coaching in the NFL. Your team doesn't deserve to win that game anyways. Go for it. Now, he has to backtrack from those statements because obviously Jason Garrett, you know, is like, hey, it was a long one. He doesn't want to throw his coach under the bus. I get it. He backtracks from the statement. But then he comes out today and says, you know, he's asked about the wide receiver, and He says that the Dallas Cowboys have not had a true number one wide receiver for several years. Just for a second. Well, whose fault is that? Jerry, you're the freaking GM of the team. I mean, it's your fault. And, by the way, I give props to the guy who was interviewing Jerry on the radio, and he asked, well, what about Dez Bryant, who you just let go last year? Wasn't he the true number one? Jerry didn't even answer the question, man. I mean, so what? I don't get it. So either tell me no, Dez Bryant. Why? I mean, you let him go, so you don't think he's the number one receiver. But you guys have come in with this season with this philosophy of we don't need a number one wide receiver. We're gonna make do with what we got. The leading pass catcher for the Dallas Cowboys right now is Ezekiel Elliott, your running back. I'm sorry. It is time for Jerry Jones, the owner, to fire Jerry Jones, the general manager. I've said it time and time before. It is well documented on this show how many times I have said that exact statement. Jerry Jones, the owner, needs to fire Jerry Jones, the general manager. Get a real GM in there. That's what you need to do. And stop messing around with it. And stop doing these interviews as a GM where you just say some really ridiculous stuff. I just can't hear it anymore. You know how frustrated I was, Steve? Did you see my tweet? Did you see my tweet about the organization? Basically, it was – and this wasn't even during Sunday's game. This was the day after. I had taken some time to relax, take it in, but I just tweeted, let's just face it and come to grips with reality. The Cowboys are a 7-9 team, 8-8 at best. Why are we kidding ourselves? Same old, same old. Yeah, so there you go. That's where I'm at. And seriously, something different has to happen, because if you're there and you're telling reporters you don't have a number one wide receiver, there's nobody to blame but himself as the GM. So with that, I'm going to give over. You've got a rave before another rant.
I do, yep.
But let's give up your
so rave. Before I get to my rave real quick, not that we have time or we want to address it here, but maybe something we carve out some time later on. A lot of talk right now about old offenses versus new offenses. Oh, we're talking, yes, offensive schemes. Yes.
No, I'm thinking it's just old players on the. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, in some cases, it definitely is. Yeah. But I mean, it's not just about the Cowboys. It's, you know, there are those accusations going out against the Packers. You're hearing some of those, heck, even against the Saints, and that their offense is structured more in that older style. It's not the new modern style that we're seeing out of the Chiefs and the Rams. I'd be interested to dive a little deeper into this and what that really means, or is this just a fad? Is it something that – and when I say a fad, it's more – is there really such a thing as a new offense, or is it just we tweak something a little bit and people will adjust to it? And so I don't know. That I'd love to pick your brain on at another time,
totally,
maybe, if we don't have time today.
I totally hear you about that, and I think it's something we should talk about. Let's schedule in for the next show. The thing here is, I'll just say, is Sean McVay, new guy. Andy Reid, old guy. But Andy, right, Reid has somehow – changed his philosophy so that his offense is more newer than what he used to run. It's certainly, this is not your Philadelphia Eagles Andy Reid offense that he's running right now with Patrick Mahomes.
Right, right, and that's what I'm seeing, is that not it doesn't have to do with new coaches. It has to do with a front office and a coaching staff willing to change what they're doing. Whereas you see somebody like
Jason, you know, Garrett, who's still stuck in 1985, yeah, and running the same.
Yeah, and that's the conversation going out about Mike McCarthy at the Packers, that they're just, you know, between the front office and McCarthy, they're not really changing anything. They're kind of going the same old, which isn't playing well in today's NFL. So
same old, what we have in Dallas as well. All right, rave, make
all
me
right,
happy.
So my rave, yes, we're going back to talking about some of the things that some of the players do. I'm not talking about the Eagles today. In fact, we're talking about Andy Dalton. And specifically, Andy and Jordan, his wife, have the Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation.
Red Rocket.
In this case, the mission of the foundation is to provide daily support, opportunities, resources, and life-changing experiences to seriously ill and physically challenged children and their families in the Cincinnati and Fort Worth areas. So they've got some pretty interesting things here. Some of these programs, they've got hubs in 5 different hospitals that basically provide entertainment to families, the sick children, and extended families who are spending a lot of time at those hospitals. So we've got iPads, computers, gaming consoles to help pass the time in the hospital. Pretty cool, having spent a little bit of time in hospitals in my with a number of kids over the last couple of years. It's not to the extent that these families are dealing with, but can definitely see how extended stays or that type of entertainment or distraction is very much needed. And then the one that I really liked was the date night. And in this case, they bring parents of seriously ill and physically challenged children who can drop their kids off for an evening of music, games, snacks, face painting, other fun stuff, while the parents go off and enjoy an all-expenses-paid dinner date.
I like
that. Taking some time away and being away from their kids. So they do a number of other great things, but again, just highlighting some of the good things that some of our the NFL players are doing here. So Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation.
Very nice. Andy Dalton there from the Cincinnati Bengals. And you said it's a Cincinnati and Fort Worth. Cincinnati, obviously, the city he plays in. Fort Worth is
where he grew up.
Where he grew up, his hometown. So very nice there, Andy Dalton. Once again, the name of the foundation?
The Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation.
All right. Look it up, folks. It's time for me, and it's a rant that we have heard on this show before. So I just feel that with Mason Crosby's 5 missed field goals this past week and missed field goals by kickers all over the league, with the exception of Gano, who booted a 63-yarder to give the Panthers a win over the Giants, we're going to kind of exclude him from this rant. But here's the rant. You've heard it. You love it. Kickers. That's all I got to say.
I don't have anything to add.
Kickers. All right, let's move on. We got 15 games to talk about this week. Week 6, 2 teams are on a bye. The Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints are on a bye this week. So that means there's 30 teams still left to play football games, which gives us 15 games total. And we got a bunch of nap games this week. Now, I know people are going to be like, why is this game a nap game? Why is this game a nap game? Every nap game that we have, and we have 5 of them, folks, featured 2 teams with losing records, with the exception of Cardinals-Vikings, but the Vikings have a 500 record at 2-2-1. So that's half a loss, half a win, with a tie. It's just a bad record. So we got the Cardinals at 1-4 going to Minnesota at 2-2-1. Then all the other games are 2 teams with losing records. It's not going to be a pretty week. But that gives us more time to talk about the big games. So let's start with El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. All right, that takes us to Sunday Night Football, where the Kansas...
And I really like the pick you had here, the Bills versus Texans for this game.
I know. I almost made it. But no, it's the Kansas City Chiefs at 5-0. Traveling to New England to face the New England Patriots at 3-2. Sunday Night Football, game of the week. I'm just going to go out right now. I'm going to tell you, because the Broncos were so putrid last week, I should have never made that lock. I don't know what I was thinking. But I'm going to bounce this week with a solid underdog, and it's the 5-0 Chiefs. The 5-0 Chiefs are 3.5-point underdogs. I have no idea how the Patriots are 3.5-point favorites over the Chiefs. But I'll tell you something. The Chiefs, being 5-0, are feeling disrespected. How in the world can they be underdogs by 4 points? I don't care what anybody says. The Chiefs are going to win this game outright, so they're going to cover the spread. Take the Chiefs. Take the 3.5 points, because the Chiefs are going to win outright. I got the Chiefs. That is my lock of the week. Take it and lock it in.
So, if I'm not mistaken, Andy Reid has only played the Patriots twice since taking the helm in Kansas City.
And tell me what happened.
In 2014, the Chiefs won 41-14.
And tell me the last time they played.
2017, 42-27.
Yeah.
So they haven't been close games.
No. And the Chiefs have been on the winning end both times.
Correct, yes.
So what do you, so what do you think, the Patriots are going to flip the script now?
No. No, I don't. It is a home game for New England. It is Sunday night football.
Chiefs going to be hammered.
Let's see. The Patriots are 8-2 in the last 10 primetime games. One of those two losses is, of course, to the Chiefs.
Yes. Isn't that
the
one
Chiefs
that
are 9-1?
Remember, this is the game where the Patriots got spanked, and then Bill Belichick was like, "We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati." That's all he said for like a week.
The Cincinnati Tourism Bureau ad that he put on. Yeah,
we're on to Cincinnati. Yeah, you, as a matter of fact, you know what? I'm just going to tell everybody what's going to happen next. So. Because I see this happening
where are the Patriots going next?
Yeah, where pulling up the Patriots schedule. So here you go. After the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, they actually travel. They go on the road to Chicago. So just telling you right now, after this blowout, you're going to hear, we're on to Chicago. There you go. So we both got the Chiefs. Lady Edith, she's taking the Patriots.
I don't know what she's thinking.
Oh, Lady Edith. Man. Okay, well, you know, Lady Edith has kind of come back down to reality after that first week where she kind of embarrassed us, you know, and stuff. She kind of came back to reality over the last couple weeks. She is at a whopping, if I'm checking the site right now, 46%. Of her picks have been correct. That's not bad for just choosing logos, I guess.
Well, after the first week, she was really good, but then since then, she's really fallen off. At least she's coming back closer to 500.
Yes, she is coming closer to 500. You are at 55.1%, my friend. You're doing pretty good. I'm right on your tail at 51.3%. I finally won my first week, beat you and Lady Edith. It's about time.
Yep.
Took way too long. But I think I've kind of got a sense now of this NFL. So I'm a little shocked and a little worried that you get to pick the challenge game this game, and you got six games to pick from this week because there's six games we differ on. Do you know that?
I've got a lot to choose from since I didn't have much to choose last week. I think we're making up for it this week.
All right. We both have the Chiefs, and Lady Edith has the Patriots. I'm actually somehow kind of relieved that this is not one of the games we differ on. So I don't have to sweat out another Patriots game. Moving on, let's go to games of the week. We start in our nation's capital where the Washington Redskins host the Carolina Panthers. Who you got, bud?
So under Gruden, the Redskins are 2-4 the week after they play in Monday Night Football. And Cam Newton has gone 4-0 in his career against the Redskins. Do I need anything more?
No. Just the Redskins look really.
Is that enough to explain where I'm
going
with this
with
one?
The Panthers. Plus the fact that the Redskins look really bad on Monday Night Football. Alex Smith didn't look all that good on Monday Night Football.
Nope.
Adrian Peterson suffered a dislocated shoulder in that game against the Saints. We don't know whether he'll be back for this game or not. But regardless, I think Carolina's defense will do enough. I think they kind of had their scare and their wake-up call last week against the Giants. I think they'll take care of business here. This is an early game on Sunday. Not a huge travel day for the Panthers. Just up the coast a little bit. I think they'll be fine. I think Carolina will get the win. Lady Edith also has Carolina with the win, so it's a clean sweep there for the Panthers. All three of us are on Carolina side. I think, you know, the Washington Redskins right now sit atop. This is how bad the NFC East right now. Alone in the NFC East at 2-2. Now, they have had their bye already. I think that's going to hurt them later on, that they, you know, now have to play without getting respite. But it's Carolina's to lose. The way they're using Ed McCaffrey right now, I totally like him. One of my fantasy football picks early on in the year. I think he is taking some pressure off of Cam Newton. And that offense is going to start getting it right. Funchess needs to do some more, I think, though, the wide receiver. If he starts contributing more on that offense. The Panthers do well, but their defense will take care of the Redskins with no problem. Moving on, the Cincinnati Bengals hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers in what could be a game that decides the AFC North. All right, so Cincinnati's at 4-1. The Steelers are 2-2-1, and last week the Steelers blew the doors off the Atlanta Falcons. Finally looks like, you know, Antonio Brown got into action. Juju Smith-Schuster, the wide receiving core looked really solid for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you got to throw that with a grain of salt. It was the Atlanta Falcons who have a lot of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't put too much stock on that 41 points the Steelers put up. Here come the Cincinnati Bengals at home. Cincinnati knows they want to continue the dominance of this division right now. Only one loss. I think Cincinnati will win this game. They're tired of the Steelers.
I think the Steelers are really excited about getting Le'Veon Bell back, apparently in week 7, where he's going to, quote-unquote, compete for his job by pulling an ankle and sitting on the bench.
Okay.
So anyway, no, I think that the Steelers have the Bengals number. If I'm not mistaken, they've won 5 straight.
Yeah, that's something like that.
In Cincinnati. They're, 8-1 in the last 9 games. I think the Steelers go in. They've got a chip on their shoulder. They're getting hot at the right time. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be close, but I think the Steelers pull this one out in the end.
I just don't think this is the same Steelers team. Defensively, they're not the same. Offensively, yeah, they clicked a little bit last week, but like I said, Atlanta, just their defense, it's just decimated. I want to see it. Let me see them do it against a legitimate team, because they have struggled with good defenses. And, you know, their 2 wins come against the Tampa Bay team that, you know, we now know is a little suspect. And then the Atlanta Falcons, who are 1-4. So they've beaten the Bucks at 2-2 and the Falcons at 1-4. And they've lost or tied with some decent teams. I mean, their tie was with the Browns, who are also 2-2-1. I don't think they'll have enough. I think the Bengals – I think right now the best offense in that division is the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that they're humming. Tyler Boyd has really added another threat at the wide receiver position for Cincinnati. They got Joe Mixon back. He was pretty explosive last week. So with Mixon and A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, Andy Dalton leading them away, hey, I discounted the Cincinnati Bengals at the beginning of the season. Didn't think there were anything. I think I missed 4 picks because their 4 wins that they have, I went against them. I'm not going to do it again. I think Cincinnati takes care of business.
All right. Well, this is our first candidate.
This is the first candidate. And Lady Edith, just if you need something to kind of help guide you, is also picking the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's probably a good sign that I probably shouldn't take this game.
There you go. All right, so I stand alone with Cincinnati. Moving on, a very good game. The Cleveland Browns are hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. See, I'm getting good with the Los Angeles Chargers now, man.
You finally repetitive motion.
I have mastered it.
Was it 16 times you have to say something to remember
something
it?
Like that.
It's about that time in the season. That'd be about 16.
Chargers 3-2, Browns 2-2-1. This is one of those games that scares me a little bit if you're a Chargers fan, because this, I think, is one of those games where the Chargers, look, they just came off a pretty impressive win, and that's usually when they go on the road. They have to travel all the way across the country. They don't do that very well. It's an early game, which means that they're really playing at around 10 a.m. in the morning their time. They don't do that very well. And the Cleveland Browns defense is literally beating a dead horse in the ground, looking pretty good right now. And the Cleveland Browns beating the Baltimore Ravens, who were in control of this division up until this past game where they lost to Cleveland. So the Browns are no joke. They're going to be in every single football game. I just think in the end, Phillip Rivers is going to be too much. He is certain. You know, I don't know if you saw this play, but Phillip Rivers comes up last week against the Oakland Raiders. He comes up to the line of scrimmage looks at the defense, says, huh, great defense, huh? And then he yells at his tight end, Virgil Green, the route to run. He says, Virgil, run a seam, which is a seam route, in front of the entire defense. That's how confident Phillip Rivers is right now. He is mocking the opposing defenses, saying, I see your defense. Virgil, out loud, he tells him what route to run, and he hits it. That is the kind of play that Phillip Rivers is doing right now. I like that. I'm taking the San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers. God darn it.
Oh, almost, almost. We cursed it. All right. I guess the one question I've got, are the Browns getting paid by the hour?
Because
they have played a lot of overtime so far this season.
All the OT games. They have played a lot of OT. That's another thing that, you know, why I'm not picking the Browns is OT takes its toll on you, man. You're playing another almost whole quarter, and, you know.
I think, what, with the five games, have they played
three OT games?
Maybe
three.
Yeah, that's nearly another full game.
They tied the Steelers one. They lost the Raiders one because of that stupid controversial call. And then they won. So they're 1-1-1 in their three overtime games in 5 weeks. That's what the Browns are at right now. Yeah,
and they're playing week 7.
At some point, if I were a Browns fan, I would be like, you know what? I need hazard pay because you're making me work overtime every week. I need some hazard pay because I don't want to get hurt being out there an extra quarter every week.
And I think the Chargers have a hard time coming east.
They do.
They have a hard time playing 10 a.m. body time.
Only thing that scares me.
And that Cleveland crowd has a lot of really good energy going on. Yeah. I don't know that they've had this much energy.
They're getting wins, baby. They're getting wins.
Yeah. You know, it was I saw a quote today that you know, the Indians were doing well. Well, not anymore, but they had a good season.
Good.
LeBron, yeah, he's gone, but the Cavs have been doing pretty well, but there's just something about once the Browns are doing well that town really has an electricity that it doesn't have when their other teams are doing well.
Look.
So I think there's too much passion. There's too much excitement. If this was in L.A., see, you got
yeah,
me doing
I know.
It wrong.
I'm horrible.
If it was in L.A., I think it's an easy Chargers pick. But I think in Cleveland, I think the Browns have just enough to pull this
Look,
one.
Look, I want to take the Browns. I really do. I just think that Phillip Rivers is playing at another level right now. I think the Chargers will come out here victorious. So Lady Edith also has the Browns. She really likes that orange helmet.
She does. Yep.
Yeah, she likes that orange helmet. So, Lady Edith and you on the Browns. Once again, another possible challenge game because I've got the San Diego Chargers by myself. Moving on to the next game of the week, the Miami Dolphins at 3-2 host the Chicago Bears. All right, so this is one where originally, as I looked at the schedule, I was on the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins were going to win. But look, man, when you take a 17-0 lead, and below it, you ain't winning many football games that way. So I got the Bears. I think Chicago rested, coming off their bye week. They're going to be ready to go. I think the way they're starting to have confidence in Trubisky, he's starting to get some good rapport there with his wide receivers. I think the Bears will take care of business. I think they're going to be all business and take care of the Dolphins.
I agree. That defense, that pass rush, unless you've got an offensive line that can give enough protection, I don't think the Dolphins do. I think the Bears the Dolphins are just inept at against the Bears pass rush.
I'm going to give you max stat line right now. It's 3 sacks, 1 strip fumble, and a fumble recovery.
For Khalil Mack.
For just him by himself.
Yep.
Watch out, Tannehill. He's coming. Lady Edith, though, she's going on her own. She's taking Miami at home. She likes the Dolphins there. Did she say fish when she sees her helmet? Did she say fish?
No, she actually did say Dolphins.
She said Dolphins?
She got yes.
Straight on like she knew. Mm-hmm. Is that the only team that she's saying by name?
Oh, no, of course not.
No, okay. She's just Packers by
Well,
name.
I mean, yeah, there's Packers without question.
Okay.
And I guess the Panthers are kitties.
So she Well, it's a big cat.
That probably doesn't count.
Big black cat. So kitties. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
so Packers,
correct,
kitties,
but,
and Dolphins. Yeah. That's, she's not saying Cowboys yet?
Not yet. No.
Come on, Lady Edith. You know what? She needs to spend a couple weekends over here with me so we can get her saying Cowboys.
Yeah, you can have her. We could use a break from a 2-year-old if you want her.
That's awesome. All right.
It's been, what, 6 years since you've had a 2-year-old?
Yeah, it's been a while. 8 years. Jeez Louise. 8 years since I've had a 2-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. You're right. My math was off.
Yeah, it's okay. Bears, you and I are on the Bears. Lady Edith all alone on the Dolphins. Final game of the week. The Baltimore Ravens at 3-2 travel to Tennessee to face the Titans, also at 3-2. Oh, man, this is, you know what, the Titans kind of disappointed last week. So this is going to be a good game. This is going to decide. I think this game is going to tell you, are the Titans for real? And you obviously believe that they are.
Well, they haven't really let anybody get away from them this year. So they've been in almost every game.
Yeah.
Clearly, I mean, I don't know how they dropped this one to Buffalo.
I know. They played awful offense.
Well, yeah.
I mean, how do you lose to the Bills?
They've been, what, they haven't lost. I mean, they lost to the Dolphins in week one by 7. Every other game has been a 3-point game, I guess, with the exception of our Bills game here by 1.
Yeah. I mean, it was a last-second field goal.
They play up. I think you said it last week. They play up to the talent they're playing against.
Yeah.
So if they're playing the Bills, they stink. If they're playing the Ravens, they're good. So I think they come in ready to play, ready to get a little redemption after that mistake they made in Buffalo, and they pull this one out against the Ravens.
Well, speaking of mistakes, I think the Ravens are a little upset at the mistake they let the Browns beat them in overtime. I don't think they're going to mess around this week. I think they're just going to take it to Tennessee, and the Ravens run away with it. Lady Edith also sees that. She likes the birds. I don't know if she calls them the birds. She just points probably to this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one wasn't a bird. Yeah. She just points.
Yeah, so the Ravens, I think, will take care of business here. I think Flacco and Co. will get it on track against Tennessee. Although Tennessee's defense has been pretty good, keeping them in a lot of football games, I just think there'll be too much offense for Baltimore. So another possible so this is one, just in case you're keeping track, where we differ, but Lady Edith's on my side and not your side. So there you go. All right. Those are all the games of the week. Only one game of importance. Let's get to it. And it's only a game of importance because it has a team that is 5-0. The Los Angeles Rams coming into Denver to face the Denver Broncos at 2-3. I don't see this going anywhere but Rams, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're favored by I've got it at 7.
Yeah, I think it's gone up to 7.5.
I love when we get, you know, I keep throwing stats out there, things like that, but I love when we get certain stats like McVay, since he's been hired by the Rams, are 6-0 against AFC teams. Pretty sure you can say he's 6-0 against a lot of different teams or a lot of different groups or,
yeah,
you know, animal, you know, mascots or whatever. So it's kind of a goofy stat, but yeah.
But
6-0
against AFC teams. I mean, you don't play a lot of AFC teams if you're an NFC team. You know, you only play four games a year. So that's a year and a half worth of football that he's 6-0. So – I like it.
Yep, I'm going to take it. And I don't see Denver maybe sticking with them a little bit, but that defense isn't going to stop the
maybe
the
in the
Rams.
First half, but Case Keenum is in trouble because Donald and Sue. Look, we knew that Aaron Donald was going to be awesome, but the fact that Sue's late in football games taking over, I don't know how you're gonna stop that defense. When now you got Sue coming in making sacks. I mean, I think in the last three games, he's got 3 sacks in the fourth quarter. That's pretty impressive. You know, the secondary is now getting healthy for the Rams. I don't think the Broncos will be much of a problem. So I'll take the Rams. You'll take the Rams. And Lady Edith will take the Rams. All right. we've got 1, 2, 3 games of interest. Now, before people yell at me, it's like, this game of interest is two losing teams, two records with two losing teams. The only reason it's a game of interest, it's Thursday Night Football. It's the only game that's there. It's the Philadelphia Eagles at 2-3 and the New York Giants at 1-4. That's why I put it as a game of interest, because you know what? It's interesting because you're going to watch it. It's Thursday Night Football. It's the only game on. You're going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I know I'm going to watch it because I want this. I actually, the best thing that could happen for me if this is a, you know, 14-14 tie. Right?
It's probably not going to be a 14-14 tie.
Okay, 13-13 tie?
Yeah, maybe not.
All right, 13-13 tie. Yeah, because I don't know how both of these teams are going to score 2 touchdowns each. So let's say 13-13 tie between the Eagles and the Giants. But since we can't really call ties, or at least I'm not comfortable in calling a tie, I'm going to take the Eagles just because I think right now they're a better team. They know what they did wrong last week against the Vikings. And the Giants, I just, man, you know, it's time for Eli Manning to hang it up because he is missing guys. He is missing them high. He is missing them low. He is missing them off to the side. I mean, Happy Feet has come in. I mean, you know what they had to do last week? They let Odell Beckham throw the football. They're like, he's going to be more accurate throwing the ball to Saquon Barkley than Eli Manning is. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, but now they're loose. You know, you got Eli Manning having some fun. I mean, he's going back and forth with Lil Wayne. I love how this has become a story. Of course,
I know.
Nobody from the Giants seems to be talking about what Odell Beckham said during the interview.
Right. It's just,
they're just having fun with Lil Wayne. So anyway, you know, it's for me, it's a Thursday Night Football game. It's a division game. The Giants are going to be up for this thing. They're going to be ready to play. I think they pull this one out. Neither quarterback is necessarily at the moment showing anything strong. Wentz isn't what he was. He could be. Not saying he won't be, or he isn't in the long run.
He's showing rust. He's definitely got rust.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet from him. I think that Philly secondary has enough holes in it that Happy Feet gets enough in there with Beckham and Shepard that.
I just love it that you're calling him Happy Feet too now. That's awesome. So you're on the Giants. Lady Edith is with me on the Eagles. We both got the Eagles. Look, usually you're right. Thursday Night Football, it's all about the home team. I get it. I just don't think this week it's going to happen. The Giants are just not that a good football team. Offensively, you know, they have two great pieces in Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon Barkley. But if you don't have an offensive line that blocks all that well, they got rid of Flowers this week. Actually, it's released him today. Because there's just too many holes on the offensive line. Eli Manning is not mobile, so he can't scramble around anymore. And the Eagles know, hey, we're the defending Super Bowl champions. We can't lose another game. We can't go to 2-4 this early in the season. Because there will be problems with us, you know. Although, like I said earlier, division's a mess. So maybe they can go to 2-4 and climb out of it. But I don't think they'll let that happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, even the Giants, if they win this one at 2-4, you know, that Eagles 2-4, they're not out of it. Nobody's out of it at 2-4 this early in the season in that division.
Yeah. All right, well, that brings...
So I think both teams have enough to play for.
Okay, so that's another game where Edith is on my side and you are all alone. Coming up to the next game of interest, the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Dallas to face the Cowboys. All right. Jags coming off another disappointing loss. They weren't anywhere near in that game against Kansas City. And this was the team that, remember, everybody, whoa, what happened there? Was that me?
Did you hear that
one? I did hear that one.
Oh, no. It was a printer cycle.
Oh, okay. All right, good. I thought an alien was going to attack me through the computer. No, so the thing about the Jaguars is they got to be disappointed. They're sitting at 3-2. They've lost within the division to the Titans. They lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, who's the other team looking to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And everybody was picking the Jaguars. And they were picking the Jaguars because of that defense. That defense hasn't really been all that solid. Now, here come the Cowboys. The Cowboys offensively don't look like they scare anybody. But I'll tell you why I'm picking the Cowboys is that the Jaguars offensively right now don't have anything themselves. They're not going to have Leonard Fournette for this game. He's already listed as out with a leg injury. So they're going to have to rely on T.J. Yeldon. And the thing is, they're going to have to rely on Blake Bortles. And the guy's become a head case right now. I don't trust Bortles. I will trust Ezekiel Elliott and whatever Dak Prescott brings for the Cowboys over what Blake Bortles has and the Jaguars. So I'm taking Dallas.
And I don't disagree with anything you're saying. Jags have been 4-16 against NFC teams since 2013. Yeah, they weren't any good from 13 to 16.
Yeah.
I get it. So that's not much saying much. But I question that Cowboys offense, and I think this is going to be a 9-6 game.
Yeah, take the under.
And I think the Jags pull this one out barely.
All right, so you got the Jaguars, Lady Edith. Man, I love this girl.
She's holding strong. She went past the kitty that is the Jaguars, yeah. And she went for the Cowboys.
6 weeks in a row, she's also on the Cowboys. So another game, Steve, where you stand alone with Jags, Lady Edith and I got the Cowboys. That's 5 games now that we differ on. Finally, the last game of interest, 49ers traveling to Green Bay to face the Packers. I'm just going to go and tell everybody we're all on the Packers, I think.
Yeah, I there's nothing positive to say on the Packers side of this.
But the 49ers just got decimated by Arizona, who was winless. And they made Arizona look like a formidable team.
Right, well, yeah, and that's where I was going. It's not that the Packers are good.
It's just the 49ers are that bad.
The 49ers are that bad. I don't see how you go against the Packers in this one until the 49ers can show something that resembles a football team.
I feel sorry for 49ers fans, and I know my big buddy and good friend of the show, Jeremy Parker, is listening right now saying, "Oh, Steven, I hate you, mate. I hate you," because I'm making fun of the 49ers. But look, Garoppolo went down, and I'm sorry, but that was their season. Because Beat Hard, I don't know why I like to call
it. Not it. Yeah.
No, Beat Hard is not it. I'm sorry, Beathard, C.J. Beathard. It's just they looked really bad, and even late in that game against Arizona, they had the opportunity to come back and maybe tie it, maybe take the lead, and he throws a horrible pick. I mean, it wasn't even a good pass, the defense side of kind of got him the ball back, and then he fumbles, picked up, scooped up, returned for a touchdown, game over, and that's just not good. They're not getting good play from the quarterback. Nobody's respecting him to throw the football, so they can't run the football. I think the Packers will do the same thing. Plus, you know, it's a guy named Aaron Rodgers versus a guy named Beat Hard. I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers all the time.
Yeah. Aaron is 5-0 on Monday Night Football, so.
All right. We are.
I'm sorry. 5-0 when he plays more than one quarter. I do have to put that in there.
Yeah, make sure you.
If we're making stats work in our favor, we have to put all the qualifiers in there.
Make sure you qualify it. All right, we are doing excellent, my friend. Excellent that we got plenty of time. So we have 5 nap games. Usually we're just going to, you know, for nap games, we're just going to give you our picks. But we're going to talk a little bit. We've got some time here. We'll start with the first nap game where the 2-3 Bills travel to Houston to face the 2-3 Texans. I got the Texans because even though the Bills won last week, I don't know how they did it. It was smoke and mirrors, really. I got Houston.
I'm with you. I Houston has enough there. They're at home. I don't see where the Bills have anything to bring here. To pull out a win by 1 point at home. I don't think they're gonna. I don't have anything here. Yeah. I actually have no notes on this game whatsoever.
Especially on the road. It was a nap game, so we really didn't have notes, but. You know, I think Deshaun Watson will do enough. He's got some pretty good weapons there to take care of this win. You got the Texans. I've got the Texans. And Lady Edith also have the Texans. All right, next nap game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-2. Travel to Atlanta to face the Falcons. Falcons at a very disappointing 1-4. And the bottom line here is that Atlanta's just, you know, their season went spiraling out of control fast with a bunch of injuries. But Jameis Winston's first full game back where he's now been named the starter. He's going to try and get it back on that. And you know what? I don't care how great a player you are. I don't care. You can be the best dude at the quarterback position. But when you haven't played the game for, you know, the first 4 weeks, it's hard to come back and just, boom, just be lights out. I think Jameis is going to struggle in this game. And I think Atlanta will do enough. Look, it's going to be a high-scoring game, I think. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored, but I think in the end, Atlanta will find a way to get the W.
Yep, I agree. Nothing to add there. It's Atlanta's got this one at home.
All right, you got the Falcons. But Lady Edith likes the Pirates, and she's taking the Buccaneers in this one. She just like,
I think she's been pretty consistent on the Buccaneers as well.
Pirates, yeah. Maybe she just likes Pirates because in the next game, Seahawks at Raiders, she's got the Pirates again.
She does.
And she's all,
I don't know why.
And she's all alone picking the Oakland Raiders. I've got the Seahawks. You've got the Seahawks. You want to tell us why you're taking Seattle in this one?
Well, I'm pretty sure Gruden isn't even going to show up for the game. Let's see. We've got a quote here. Gruden on the flight to London. I hope I can make it. I'm not great. Claustrophobic. Went to Belarus to watch his son. I had to fly 14 hours. Had vertigo for a month. I couldn't even lay down. The house was spinning. I'm not a great traveler, to be honest. I hate it. So, he may not even be there.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot that this was an early game that's going to be played in London. So, Jeremy, I'm sure, will be out there. I'm taking Seattle just because I've seen more of them offensively than I have of the Raiders. And Gruden, to actually be honest in a press conference, He looked pretty downtrodden. He wasn't very happy, wasn't very sure of himself. And he actually said, you know what, in this first 5 weeks, those four losses, I see a lot of my handprint on it. Yeah, it's the coaching decisions that he's made that have, you know, and quite honestly, they should be 0-5. They should not have won that game against the Cleveland Browns. That, no one can tell me any different. That was a first down run by Carlos Hyde. I don't know why it was overturned because there was not enough video evidence there to overturn it. Bottom line, they're 0-5 in my eyes. The record says 1-4, but they're 0-5. They just have not looked good. I think Seattle will take care of business. They have more offensively. Tyler Lockett has been like just lightning in the bottle there for Russell Wilson. They're 2-3. Raiders 1-4. We'll take the Seahawks and Lady Edith will just have to deal with Pirates later and figure out. You better watch out. Why, you know, is she into Peter Pan? Does she watch Jake and the Living Land Pirates? What's going on?
No, I
don't
know.
None of those shows?
I still can't figure out why she's so into the Pirates.
All right, cool. Another nap game, the Indianapolis Colts travel to New York to face the Jets. I think this is the final game you and I differ on.
It is. Look, I think the Colts should win this game.
They're going to win the game.
But they couldn't fill out their 46-man game day roster last week.
Ouch. Oh, man.
They only dressed 44. By the end of the game, they were down to 40. I mean, who are they going to put on the field?
Yeah. Maybe they should go and, you know, activate some of their practice squad guys this week. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm sure they've done a little work there. But I think the Jets at home, you know, neither team is very good.
Yeah, I think the Jets did it with smoke and mirrors again. You know, they had that opening night, you know, Monday Night Football against the Lions. Whoa, but it was like, whoa, Jets. And they lost three in a row. And then last week, you know, they just did more than the Broncos did and got another win. I don't think you know, the Colts have at least been in every single game. They've been very competitive. The problem with the Colts is they've been taking leads, and then they're losing their leads in the fourth quarter. I think this one, they'll keep that lead, and they'll squeak out a win there at the end. So I've got Indianapolis. You've got the Jets, and another one where you're all on your own because Lady Edith also has the Colts.
Go Jets.
Final game of the week, nap game. The Arizona Cardinals travel to Minnesota to face the Vikings. Who do you got?
So the last time Minnesota had this big of a favorite, or was this big of a favorite, they laid an egg against the Bills.
Yes, I am nervous about that.
But Arizona's also been 0-8 against the Vikings since they moved to Arizona.
I'm kind of hoping
that
everybody in my survivor pool takes the Vikings and Arizona somehow finds a way to win. I'm not taking the Vikings as my survivor pool.
As a Packer fan, I would love to see the Vikings lose here as well. But I think they're 10-point favorites at home. I don't see Arizona having enough after last week's win. I don't see them having enough to go up against the Vikings in Minnesota and win this one.
So I am in a survivor pool where the pool last week was the last week that you could rebuy if you had lost in the first couple of weeks. And with all the rebuys, the pool has hit 107K. So I'd like to win that one. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people were taking the Vikings this week, and I hope they lose. I'm taking them to win, obviously, in our pool here. I'm not taking them in the survivor pool. But I would love to see that kind of upset because it would just eliminate a lot of my competition. I could use 107. I could use 107.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Yeah. If you do win, will you take me out for pizza?
Pizza. Pizza on me. You got it, buddy. All right. Yeah. We all have the Vikings except what? Lady Edith couldn't clean sweep it. Is it because of hatred of the Vikings?
No. I believe it's the red of the Cardinals.
She likes the red.
That follows closely to a certain college team that may share the state with the Packers that we follow.
Yes.
So
the Wisconsin Honey Badgers, is it?
Sure, we'll go with that.
All right. So she's taking the Cardinals all on her own, but you and I have got the Vikings. Look, Steve, we are like at 101 right now. This is pretty amazing that we've actually kept it to within an hour. I just want to say, folks, if you're not following us along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, come out. I put some polls up, put some nice pictures up. You know, like that poll between the Chiefs and the Rams, that wasn't even close, but we had about 100 people vote on it, I think is what it said. But we'd love to have more. So come on. It was 70 votes. So come on. We've been getting close to 7,500 downloads. So I know there's a bunch of you listening. Come on. Come out to the website, NFLRNR.com, or, you know, you'll find all our Twitter handle, our Facebook handle, and our Instagram handle. Get on there so you could join along and communicate with the rest of the listeners of the show. The lock, I'm taking Kansas City. I know it's Sunday Night Football. I know it's the New England Patriots. But if you're going to get 3.5 points, take it because the Chiefs are going to win this game outright. Anything else you want to add, Steve?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind taking the challenge game here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that because I don't have to pick it anymore. So I just get to sit back and let you do it.
Yeah, this is only 2 weeks in a row. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to change this week.
All right.
I'm gonna go out on a limb on that Thursday night game. I'm confident enough the Giants are gonna pull this one out at home.
Whoa! You locking it in?
I am locking that in.
All right, he is locking it in. He's taking the Giants on Thursday night football at home. He thinks that Edith and I are wrong to believe in the Eagles. Man, now what are you doing Thursday night?
I'm gonna hold your kids tomorrow.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Well, now you gotta come over and watch the game. But you're a single dad. I forgot you're a single dad this week. Come on, Carriana, you're like killing our mojo here. All right.
There will be a lot of talk going on Thursday.
There will be. Well, good luck with that. So we'll lock it in the challenge game: Giants Eagles Thursday night football. Now I have to watch that stupid game. All right, like I said earlier, wherever you are and however it is you are listening to the show, thank you very much. You've been listening to Steve and Miranda.
Steve Fry.
For NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.